better job or things like that. So I could be helpful. Okay, we got this on. So we're reviewing the third step prayer. And then we're going to look at the introduction to step four today. I'd already started the meeting when we couldn't get the microphone, and Jimmy's smarter than I figured it out. Thank you, Jimmy. So I want to be a witness of what God can do for me so I can help others. That's why we're here. And our whole lives have a different direction than they had before, right? We're not interested in myself anymore. I'm interested in what I can do for others. And then when I do that, my life is so much better, right? And it says that I can be an example, a witness of God's power, love, and way of life. So ask yourself, are you doing that today? If you're new, doesn't that sound like something that would be good? Now, the prayer is so that we then are going to take the action to get this accomplished. The prayer itself is great. You can say that prayer all day long, but it won't cure your alcoholism and it won't relieve you of the bondage itself. The relief of bondage itself that we talked about happens by us working steps 4 through 9, and by following those directions, we are relieved of the bondage itself. It just happens. Now, we don't read the promises at this meeting, but it says we will suddenly realize God's doing for us we could not do for ourselves, right? That there is a power in our life that's working. And it's they have a warning. There's warnings throughout this book. They'll give you something, and they'll give you a statement and a message of hope. This is a prayer of hope, right? But they have a warning. And notice the warnings after the prayer. We thought well before taking this step. Now, thinking is dangerous for an alcoholic, but they want you to think well before taking this step, making sure you're ready. Now, what makes us ready to take this step? My life experiences that brought me here, right? Things were not going well. People don't come here to get spiritual help. They don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to go to AA because I want to get spiritual help. They come here because things aren't doing well. So our experience separated from God, the experience we have of the unmanageability of my life, my powerlessness over alcohol makes me ready. And there's some people who haven't had enough experience yet, and they're not ready. They're not ready. So what makes you ready? More pain, more suffering. And it says you have to be ready to do what? To at last abandon yourself utterly to God. Abandon yourself utterly to God. Are you ready to do that? Are you doing that today? Ask yourself, if you've been sober for a while, are you still doing that? So that's a very powerful paragraph. It's a very powerful beginning. If you notice this world of alcoholism, this is something that I kind of scribbled out when I was working with a sponsee, and he said, you ought to make a card, and I did, and I have the card, but I don't have the sponsee anymore. I haven't seen him for a while, but I hope he prays okay. And what I talked about is I'm in my world of my alcoholism, is that's where I live all the time. You see, it's my world. I decided that's where I want to live, that's where I play, and that's separated from God. Now, where does that world exist? In my mind. Now, all alcoholics have this. This is the disease of alcoholism. We live in a world where we play God, and we believe it. Now, when I'm separated, I don't know about you, but I had a lot of anger. I was full of fear. I had shame and guilt, and I had harmful actions. The other thing is when I'm in this world, and I could be in this world today. I could be in this world in 10:30. I would be restless, irritable, and discontented. But what we're talking about, when you first come in here, this is the world where you live. People don't realize that. Now, the treatment of alcoholism is not to go to just meetings and fellowship, because fellowship, I can be in the fellowship and go to 90 meetings in 90 days and still be in the world of my alcoholism. Well, 90 meetings in 90 days should convince me that there's a world outside of my alcoholism that I want to be part of, that I see other people are in. Does that make sense? That we see the witness to it. So I have to make a decision. Do I want to live in this world or not? And I have to make that decision all day long. But in the beginning, when you're new, it's steps 1, 2, and 3. And steps one and two is your experience. Do you admit that being in this world is not working? You can't stop drinking, you're managing your life, and things are a mess. Two, do you believe that you can leave this world, and can you find a power that can restore you to sanity and wholeness of mind and relieve you of the bondage of self? And then step three is where you say the prayer. And we just went over that. And the prayer is, get me out of here. Get me out of this world. Get me into a different world where I have a new power. I don't have to play God. And so a lot of work has to be done. But to get out of this world, I have to step out. I have to move out. Now, thinking my way out of this world will never work. So the first three steps is where I've made a decision. I want to leave this world. I don't want to be in it anymore. And I will find the new world by taking action. So let's see what the book says. On page 63. Does this make sense so far? Mm-hmm. We found that I think I'm going to print this and sell this on the internet. There you go. We found it, stop laughing. We found it very desirable to take this spiritual step. And those listening on the podcast, it's The World of Alcoholism to the World of the Spirit. And Patty's going to put a PDF on the site Monday or Tuesday, because we haven't added this handout yet. We want to take the spiritual step with this understanding person, but it's better to meet God, because that's what we want to do. We want to meet God. We want to have a relationship with God. Now, have we met God before? Well, we want to meet him differently. We want to meet him where he's God and I'm not God. He's the director and I'm just the actor. And I don't want to meet God in a one-on-one horizontal relationship. Where's my buddy Gary? I want to meet God that he's up there and I want to meet him for his direction and guidance. And it says the wording is optional. As long as you express the idea, and we've went through what this idea is, basically you're not going to play God anymore. You don't want to run your life. You want to give it all to God. Let him do with you as you will and follow his direction, and I won't have any more difficulties. And it says, the wording is, but you voice it without reservation. Now, I know there are people in this room who have been sober a long time who still say the third step prayer every day, and I did it this morning. I do it every day. Now, sometimes it becomes rote, but I try to make it and put in perspective. I say additional prayers, but it's the idea, as soon as I wake up, that I don't want to run the show. So the first thing I do, almost 99.9% of the time, I'm not perfect, is I say, God, direct my thinking. Divorce it from selfish, dishonest, self-seeking motives before I start thinking. And it says, this is the beginning, and honestly and humbly made an effect, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once. Now, a lot of people feel really good when they do the third step. They get down on their knees and they feel good. They've made a big change from their alcoholism, that they're willing to see that they lived in this world and it wasn't good and I want to get out of there. And that's a big relief. And then you usually take it with someone who's going to help you get out of there. So you have support. You have a guide now. And we're supposed to be guides down this path of spiritual progress, right? So it says, next, we launched on a course of vigorous action. Now, action is what's required to get out of the circle of my world into the circle of the real world where God is the center, includes him and everything connected to God. And the only way I can get out of the world I was in into the real world is the actions of steps 4 through 9. I can't think my way in it. I can't study my way into it. I can't go to meetings my way into it. I have to take action. That's what AA says. That's what the 12 steps said. Now, if you don't agree with that, that's fine. But this is what the book says. It's worked for me. And I wrote, the action of 4 to 9 brings me into God's world. Now, here's the problem. Everybody's saying, well, this is so ridiculous. Where is God's world? Well, God's world is the real world. And the world I lived is the world that Michael created, where I was judging everybody and angry and running the show and directing the play and conflict with everybody and everyone, full of fear. Anybody have that? Or was I the only one? And so now the first three steps are designed to show me that there is a different world, you see, and I want to be part of it. And it says, next we launch. So next, So right away, so how much time do you wait between taking step three and action? Next, is there any time between now and next where we're going to see? And it's vigorous action. It's not vigorous thinking. Now, vigorous is strenuous, and they're going to use the word strenuous in the next line. And launched, when you launch a boat, you don't kind of, they launch it. When the rockets launched to go to the moon flight, they didn't wait a week to get to 1,000 feet, right? They didn't say, well, I'm going to work steps 4 through 9 to get 40,000 feet. I'm going to do 1,000 feet 40 days in a row, right? They're launched, right? Everybody's got the picture. The first step, so here's really the first step of the action of the program. Everything up to page 63 is admitting, believing, and deciding. But the first step of action is on page 63. And it's a personal house cleaning. So you say, oh, I came here, now I got to clean my house. Well, that's not what they mean. It's a personal house cleaning. And what you're cleaning is your mind. And you're going to look in your mind and to see what exists in that world you created. You're going to look at your anger and your fears and your conduct and see the truth about it and why you did that. And until you do that, you're still going to have that in your head. So the decision in step three won't change if you still have anger and fear and you're harming people and you have all your character defects. And so many of us have never attempted it. We didn't even know that we had to. Did anybody know that that was what was wrong with them? Most people come in here, have a list of everybody who got you here, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, they got me here, right? If you lived with her, you'd drink too, you know. If you worked with them, you'd drink too. If you had those parents, you'd drink too. I mean, it's endless. It says, though my decision was vital. Now, vital is necessary for life, vitae, and crucial. So do you think they think this is serious? It could have little permanent effect, so your step three decision won't have any effect unless at once. So you have next and at once. Any time between next and at once, you can do your fourth step. I worry about people I'm working with that they're taking too long to get to step four. And what I realized is I was worried more than they were. They were having fun doing step one. They didn't want to get to step four. They might have to do something. And it gets very frustrating. And that's where I had the three-day rule. So if I complained about it for 3 days in a row, my wife said, you're done. You're done. You know, just done. They don't want to do it. And so you can tell right away people who want to do it and people who think they want to do it. There's a difference. It's in here. Do you really want to get out of this world? And so it's a strenuous effort to look, face, and be rid of the things in me which had been blocking me from God. So the only thing we're doing in AA is getting unblocked from the real world. Because I'm blocked, so I live in this world, but I want to unblock it. Now, I can't unblock it unless I could see what I need to remove and what I'm wrong about. Does this make sense? So people come in here and they want to get smart. We don't want to get smart. We want to learn everything we're wrong about and let go of it. We see all our resentments are wrong, right? We want to let go of them. All of our fears are wrong belief. We want to let go of them. We don't want to harm people. So we don't get smart here. We let go of everything that we were wrong about. We use that word term old ideas. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. So it says unless you let go of your old ideas completely, the result's nil. So here's the warning. If you hold on to any old ideas, you're never going to leave that world. Because that one idea will keep you in your world. It could be one resentment, one fear, right? One harmful action you haven't made an amend. So I think this card has been helpful to me. To face and be rid of the things which have been blocking me from God. So that's all steps 4 through 9 are. And it says liquor was but a symptom. A symptom of what? Unmanageable life, I wrote, of being blocked. So if I live in my world of alcoholism where I'm playing God and I'm a self-will-run riot, drinking is a symptom of that. And why do we drink? To relieve me of how bad I feel when I'm in that world. And so now we have a power which we call God that can relieve me when I feel bad and I'm in that world by just getting back to him. And I think that's all the scripture's about. The big, big book is about that. How we unblock and get connected to God and live with him and walk with him each day and not with ourselves. So liquor was a solution to my feeling restless, irritable, discontented when I lived in my alcoholic world. How did it work? It worked great in the beginning, didn't it? We said, where was this stuff? Drugs, alcohol, anything that could make that world look better. We got addicted to. You see why? Because it's so unpleasant to live in my self-centered world. But now we have a tool, the steps, so that when we don't feel good and we're back in our world, we can get back to God. 10 and 11 is how we do that every minute, every day, the rest of our lives. Steps 4 through 9 is how we learn to do it so we get into the world of the Spirit. It says on step 10, on page 84, we are now in the world of the Spirit. And 10 and 11, those pages, 84 to 88, tell me how I stay in that world. Steps 10, 11, and 12. But I can't stay in that world until I know how to get out of the other world. And that's what people don't understand, so they don't want to do the steps. They don't want to do steps 4 through 9. And what the AA is telling you is, and they don't know if it's true for you or not, but what they're saying is what was true for them is unless you do 4 through 9, we couldn't get out of that world. Now, if you have a way to do it and live in peace and content, not drink and be useful and whole, and you don't want to work the steps, fine. That's great. We don't care. We don't say it's the only way, but we say this is what works. So the testimony of the book, the whole book is about this. And this is what they did so they could go from where they were separated to where they were connected. And we have the promises on page 83 and their promises throughout the book. And then you have a relationship with God and you have what's called the spiritual awakening. Do you know what that means? It means that when you're in this world, you know you've got somebody with you. You're not alone, and you have a power to live. And so now we're going to get down to causes and conditions. So we're at page 64. Now we're going to look at the next handout. This is the step 4 inventory. Mm-hmm. Was it funny? I love you, Brian. It says, therefore, we start upon a personal inventory. Now, here's what we're very good at. I think every alcoholic, I can't speak for everybody in the room, but I was very good at taking personal inventory of you. I could take anybody's inventory, and I was very good at it. In fact, I should have written a book. We all could have. We all know what's wrong with everybody else. But now we don't want to do that because that didn't work. We want to take an inventory of me and of my life and my thinking so I can face and be rid of the things in here that are blocking me. Joe and Charlie make the point that my mind is like a 7-Eleven. We don't have 7-Elevens out here. We used to. They're like the quick shops or whatever. And you walk in and you've got all the stuff on the floors, all those goods, you know, the potato chips and all that stuff. That's our resentments. And it fills up that whole space. But in case there's any room on the sides, we've got fears lining the whole side. And then the office in the back where the manager is full of shame and guilt. Now they make the point, if this is your mind, how can God work in there? Can't. So we have to get rid of all that so each day God can work in our lives. And so steps 4 through 9 is getting me to the situation where I've removed enough of that so I can experience God's power and be in the world of the Spirit. And I thought it was a good analogy. It made a lot of sense to me. So we're going to do a personal inventory. And they use an analogy here of a business versus a business inventory like Target versus a personal inventory of ourselves. And it says a business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. I would assume people were broken when they came in here. I was broke. I was broke spiritually. I was completely defeated. Why? I took no regular inventory, and I made a big mistake. I don't know if anybody else has done this. I believed everything I thought. And I was proud of it. And it was killing me. I believed all my resentments, didn't you? All my fears were true, absolutely. Everybody else's actions, it was very clear to me what was wrong with the world. And doing that, I completely defeated. So I was willing to say, you know, I don't want to live that way anymore. And it says, taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. So now they have computers. So whenever you buy something, it's recorded. So they see what they sold each month. And they say, well, we sold a lot of this. I went to get the latest LOL surprise doll for my 4.5-year-old princess this morning at Target. And so they're going to see that a lot of people like those LOL surprise dolls. And they're going to restock them. And they know. They're not going to. Now, there's these dolls that are right next to them. Nobody wants them. So when they sell all the LOL surprise dolls, they're not going to order more of the other doll and fill that shelf. But we do. We have a lot of resentments, and they're killing us. And we even put more. We add more to the shelf. We think it's good. And if they keep doing that, they're going to go broke, right? Now it's October. They're already got all their Christmas things planned, right? They know what they sold last year, what they didn't sell. Target's, Mark's not here. He used to help work with them. They're already figuring out what they're going to ship, when they're going to ship it, so that they have the stuff on the shelves. Because they face the fact, and they found the facts to discover the truth about the stuff in their shelves. Now, the problem with the alcoholic is that we've never done that. We've never evaluated our mind for the truth. So we're going to do a searching, fearless moral inventory of my mind and my thinking. And all moral means is truthful. And it has to be fearless. I can't hold anything back. I got to give it 100%. And it says, if the owner of the business is to be successful, do I want to be successful? Do I want to recover? Do I want a relationship with God? I cannot fool myself about values. I can't hold on to the stuff and decide what's good or bad based on my old thinking. I need to see it differently. And that's why we do this inventory on paper. We write everything down. Now, the object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods. And my personal inventory, I want to find my flawed thinking. Now, today I know my flawed thinking very well, because when I have it, I don't feel good. I'm disturbed. I'm judging. I'm afraid. I'm impatient, intolerant. I've got a whole bunch of flawed thinking processes. And I don't have to act on them. I can stop now with God and change. And so we want to disclose to the new person in the fourth step the flawed thinking. Because if you go to meetings and you haven't done the fourth step, you sit in the meeting with the same alcoholic mind that brought you here. And you're living in your world of alcoholism sitting in the meeting. And then if you notice, there are people that get mad at each other. You know, and they don't like what somebody else did at the meeting. Have you ever seen that? Am I the only one? Why? Because they're each in their own world of alcoholism. And they conflict. So we don't want to do that anymore. So if I can encourage anybody, it's get in this book and do this step. And we're going to be going through the four step on Saturdays, and it's really not very complicated. If you can get on the site, I've got the four step recorded several times, the resentments, fear, sex inventory. And it says, we did exactly the same thing with my life. So I'm going to look at my life story. Now, some people want to tell you, you know, I went to medical school. That's not what we're looking at. You know, I went to Duke University. We don't give a shit about that. I want to look at all my resentments, everybody was angry at, all my fears, and all my harmful actions, so I can be rid of my resentment, rid of my fear, and I don't want to harm people. Now, the thing that's not emphasized enough on step four is that unless I do step four, I don't have a way of being rid of resentment. I don't know the prayers. I don't know how to change the way I look at people so that I can be free of anger. The other thing is, if I don't do step four, I don't know how to be free of fear. I don't understand the prayer of fear. I don't understand how it works. I don't understand why I get the fear. So besides taking inventory and looking at these things, we learn in this step how to be free of anger and free of fear. Anybody think that's a good idea? Mm-hmm. Now, the tools we use in this four step, we use every day. Now, I can assure you, no matter how long you're sober, you can sit at home, maybe in the basement, in front of the TV, and you can create a fear. And if you're a good alcoholic, you can take a little fear and you can be on the street, penniless, divorced, kids haven't talked to you, or even in jail. An alcoholic could do that in about 60 seconds, maybe. A good one. Some take longer. When I'm being silly, but I can create fear as an alcoholic. And I know now, whenever I create fear, it's managing some area of my life and it's not true, and I'm not trusting God, and I'm not giving that area to God. It's silly, it's a waste of time. And so I have a God box that I look at. In the beginning, I put all my fears in there because they were just crap. And now I don't have to put much in because I just say it's a waste of time. But I've learned that through years of doing this. But if you're new, you learn how to get rid of fear. You don't have to live in fear. And you learn how to be free of anger. So the first thing we did is we're going to search out the flaws in my makeup, which caused our failure. Now, my makeup is my mind, my thinking, my character, my personality. Now, I have these cards here. Everybody's had one of these, but I didn't give them out. So you be sure to take one if you're new. This card is it all. This card is my personal characteristic of self-rule. This is the spiritual checklist if you're listening on the site. We have people listening from all over the world, so they can find this on the site. And if I'm in self-will, this is the way I'm thinking. And this thinking caused my failure. It wasn't anybody else. Now, the hope and the gift of AA, the spiritual gift of AA, is I don't have to live in this world anymore. AA has a plan that if I follow the steps, I will move from this world to the world of God. And it will happen quickly and almost automatically over time. And if you've, Ed shaking his head, when you've been sober a long time, you know when you're over on the left-hand side. And you stop and you say, son of a bitch, I don't want to be there. God, move me on the right-hand side. Change the way I see things. Practice love instead of anger. Tolerance instead of impatience. It happens automatically over time. Now, Joe and Charlie said the reason for that is you're practicing a new way of living when you recover. But when you come in here, you've practiced a way of living. You're always on the left-hand side. And he said, why? We were good at it. We would see everything in the world, and we immediately get dishonest, fearful, inconsiderate, prideful, greedy. It was the way we reacted. But we don't have to do that anymore. And step four is the beginning to realize that we don't have to be that person anymore. We can be the person God created. And we're going to be looking at the flaws in me which caused my failure. My failure as a human being. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways. Now, manifested means to display or show by one's action. And self, we went through on the, we did four parts on step three. And on part three, I showed, gave you the handout on what makes up self, the instincts of life, and how we try to manage every area of that life. And when we do that, we have wrong thinking. And so we're going to look at the wrong thinking that's manifested as the result of me trying to solve and run the world to satisfy my sex instincts, my material instincts, security instincts, and my emotional instincts. And we all have them. They're normal and God-given. The problem is we're self will run riot. And then the other problem we have as alcoholics is that when we have wrong thinking, we drink over it. Now, normal people, I don't know what they do, but they may go and get a pill. Or a depression pill or something. But we drink or we use drugs and we destroy our lives, right? And we don't want to do that anymore. So we're going to look at its common manifestations. So now we're ready to start step four, which we'll start next week. And step four is very simple. You review three things in your life. All of your anger. Don't tell me you weren't angry. I heard it the other day. I don't have many resentments. I've worked through them all. You know, the guy's been drinking for 25 years and been in and out of AA. I don't believe that. But he believes it. So when you're a sponsor going with a sponsee, you help them sit down and look at their lives and look at their anger. And then you look at all your fears and where fear comes from. And then we look at our sex inventory and relationships and how we were selfish and dishonest and harmed people. And we look at other relationships as well. And then we learn prayers to be free of resentment, free of fear. And we learn a new sex ideal or relationship ideal, how we live in the world. So, I mean, why wouldn't you want to do the fourth step right away? Why would you want to wait at all? So we're going to stop there. Next week we'll start with resentment is the number one offender. And please, if you need some more of these cards, I got some more of these. And if you think this other card is good, I spilled coffee on it, you know. I admit it. It's on the side, but we've cleaned it up. So anyway, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.